观世音服务员迎宾，各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早晨好。今天是2019年2月10日，星期日，大年初六，给大家拜年。我们又非常非常荣幸的邀请到了深爱着我们以及我们深爱着的阿叔 Krishna Baladev Prabhu， 为我们继续讲述今天的圣典博加瓦坛的早课，敬请聆听。Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna。Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya。
Om 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 Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya。
So we continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the second canto, chapter 6.Purusha Sutta confirmed, and today we read from text 29 to 32.
我们今天继续阅读圣典博加瓦坛第二篇的第六章，赞美至尊主的颂歌得到证实。我们今天要阅读的诗节是从第29诗节到第32诗节。
Tadas.
Tadas.
A.
A.
Bratara,
Bratara,
Ime,
Ime,
Tadaste Bratara Ime,
Tadaste Brata Ime,
Prajanam,
Prajanam,
Patayo,
Patayo,
Nava,
Nava,
Prajanam Patayo Nava,
Prajanam Patayo Nava,
Avajan Ayajan
Ayajam
Vyaktam
Vyaktam
Avyaktam
Avyaktam
Ayajam Vyaktam Avyaktam
Ayajam Vyaktam Avyaktam
Purusham
Purusham
Susamahita
Ramahita
Purusham Susamahita
Purushasu samahitaha
Tataste bratara ime
Tataste bratara ime
Prajanam patayo nava
Prajanam patayo nava
Ayajam vyaktam avyaktam
Ayajam vyaktam avyaktam
Purusham susumahitaha
Purushamsu samahitaha.
Okay, word for word.
字对字。
Tata.
Tata. 啊，之后。
Te.
Te. 你的。
Bratara.
Bratara. 兄弟们。
Ime.
Ime. 这些。
Prajanam.
Prajanam. 生物体的。
Pattaya,
Pattaya, 主人们。
Nava,
Nava, 酒。
Ayajan,
Ayajan, 旅行。
Vyaktam,
Vyaktam, 展示。
Avyaktam,
Avyaktam, 不展示。
Purusham,
Purusham, 人物的，人格的。
Susamahita,
Susamahitaha,以恰当的仪式。
Translation and purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
译文和要旨由圣施拉帕帕提供。译文：我亲爱的儿子，从那以后，你的九个兄弟，生物体的主人，也举行了适当的祭祀仪式，以取悦已经展示和还未展示的人物。要旨。应展示的人物是天帝 Indra 以及和他在一起的半神人，没有展示的人物就是至尊主人，展示了的人物是物质事物的世俗控制者，而没有展示的人格守神则是超然的，处在物质范畴之外。在这个卡利年代里，由于星球间的往来完全中断了，所以即使是展示了的半神人，我们也看不到。正因为如此，对盲目的现代人来说，至尊人格守神和强大有力的半神人都是不展示的。 现代人虽然不够资格，但却认为眼见为实，所以要用他们的眼睛看一切。结果，他们因为看不到而不相信半神人或至尊神的存在。他们应该透过真正的经典的教导去看一切，而不应该只相信透过他们那没有资格的眼睛所看到的事物。即使是现在，我们也可以用涂了爱神眼膏的有资格的眼睛看到神。
Translation and purpose by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
译文和要旨由 Srila Prabhupada 提供。继他们之后，人类的祖先 Manu 们、伟大的圣人们、生物体的祖先们、博学的学者们、Daitya 和人类也都取悦了至尊主，举行了祭祀。教旨 Daitya 是那些为了能从半神人那里获取最大的物质利益而崇拜半神人的人。至尊主的奉献者根本没有时间去寻求物质的便利条件，他们因为认识了自己的灵性身份，所以更关心灵性的解脱，而不是物质方面的舒适。
31 Narayane Bhagavan Narayane Bhagavati Tarivam Vishwamahitam Grita Mayoru Guna Sargadava Guna Svata. Translation and purport by the Bhagavad Srila Prabhupada.
译文和要旨由 Srila Prabhupada 提供。译文：因此，众多宇宙的所有物质展示都在他自给自足的强大物质能量中，尽管他跟物质自然形态永远都不接触。要旨：Narada 向 Brahma 询问的有关物质创造的维系问题，如此便有了答案。物质主义科学家所能观察到的物质的作用和反作用这些表面现象，根本不是有关创造、维系和毁灭在最终的真相。物质能量是至尊主的一种在时间范畴中展示出来的力量。至尊主以 Vishnu、Brahma 和希瓦的形象分别掌管着物质能量的善良、激情和愚昧属性。因此，尽管至尊主始终超越所有的物质活动，但物质能量却在他至尊控制力的控制下工作。一个富人只要花钱就可以请人盖一所大房子，同样也可以花钱请人拆掉一所大房子，但维护保养房子的事他总是要亲自去照管。至尊主始终完全拥有六种财富，所以是富人中最富有的人。正因为如此，他不需要亲自去做任何事情，物质世界里的每一件事情都按照他的意愿和指挥去进行。所以说，整个物质展示都处在至尊人格守神 Narayana 之中。只有缺乏知识的人才会认为至尊真理不具人格特征。这一事实由宇宙事物的创造者 Brahma 给予了明确的解释。 Brahma 是伟大智慧的最高权威，因此他就有关这方面的声明是最高的知识。
32 Srijamitam Niyuktoham Haroharati Tadvasha Vishwam Purusha Rupena Paripati Tri Shakti Drik. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada.
译文和要旨由 Srila Prabhupada 提供。译文：凭他的意愿，我负责制造，主希瓦负责毁灭，而他自己则作为人格守神，以他永恒的形象负责维系一切。他是这三种能量的强大控制者。要旨：这节诗里明确地证实了独一无二的概念。这个一是指主 Vasudev， 物质世界和灵性世界里的一切都只不过是他的各种能量的扩展的不同展示。在物质世界里，主 Vasudev 也是一切。圣如薄伽梵歌第七章的第十九诗节中声明的，我是一切原因的原因，是一切。 韦达赞歌中也把这同一位花素对说成是至尊者。韦达经中说，事实上除了花素对没有更高的真理。在《薄伽梵歌》的第七章的第七十节中，主 Krishna 宣布了同样的真相，我 Krishna 是至高无上的真理。因此至尊主的奉献者也接受非人格主义者们所过分强调的一体性概念。所不同的是，非人格主义者最终否认至尊主具有人格性，而持人格主义观点的奉献者更注重人格守神。圣典薄伽瓦坛中解释我们现在正在讨论的这节诗所阐述的这个真理，说主花素德是独一无二的至尊主，由于他是全能的，他可以在扩展他的同时展示他的全能。这节诗中描述至尊主通过三种能量展示他的全能，他的三种能量分别是内在能量、边缘能量和外在能量。他的内在能量又表现出知识、存在和快乐这三种灵性的属性。至尊主的边缘能量生物也是灵性的，但生物永远都不可能与至尊主平等。经典说至尊主是没有谁比他伟大或与他平等的人，因此个体生物哪怕是 Brahma 和 Shiva 那样伟大的人物都是至尊主的属下。在物质世界里，至尊主以 Vishnu 的永恒形象控制维系着包括 Brahma 和 Shiva 在内的半神人以及他们所管理的一切事物。
OK, now you read the translations from 29 to 30, 32, justTranslation after translation, don't need to say the number of the verse.
Yeah. Ashu, please, give me a little time because I'm using the digital text, so I need to retrieve all of those texts together.
Okay.
请大家稍等一下，因为我用的是电子书，所以说我要重新念一下所有的这些诗节，从29到第32诗节。我亲爱的儿子，从那以后，你的九个兄弟，生物体的主人也举行了适当的祭祀仪式。以取悦以展示和还未展示的人物，继他们之后，人类的祖先玛努们、伟大的圣人们、生物体的祖先们、博学的学者们、 Daitya 和人类也为取悦至尊主举行了祭祀。因此众多宇宙的所有物质展示都在他自给自足的强大物质能量中，尽管他跟物质自然形态永远不直接接触，凭他的意愿，我负责制造，主希瓦负责毁灭，而他自己则作为人格守神，以他永恒的形象负责维系一切。他是这三种能量的强大控制者。
Shakshumilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha namahum vishnu padaya krishna prestaya bhutale shrimati bhakti vedanta swami tinamine namaste saraswati deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunnavade pashyata deshatarine shri chaitanya mano pishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikamPanchakaupatarubhyacha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanibhyo, Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.So there is a very, very strong controversy about the absolute truth being a person or impersonal.
那有一个特别大的一个争论，就是至尊人格守神，他到底是人格的还是非人格的
？Materialists, they don't. They don't think about this.
那作为一个物质主义者，他们不会去思考这一切。
They don't even believe there is any absolute truth.
他们甚至于不相信是有绝对的真理。
They are totally convinced that they are their bodies and their existence is this from birth to death and that's it.
他们完全的相信自己就是这具躯体，而且呢，他的这个存在呢，是由出生和死亡而决定的，仅此而已。
But those who are conversant or practice Vedic culture, they know that the absolute truth can be personal or impersonal.
但是那些了解并且修习伟达文化的人，他们知道，绝对真理是有可能是人格的或者是非人格的。
And you see many spiritualists, they take the path of impersonalism.
那我们知道有很多的灵性主义者呢，他们都是在修习着非人格之途。
Because there are statements in the scriptures,particularly in Upanishads, that explain that the absolute truth is formless. It does not have a form, does not have qualities, does not have activities.
因为在经典里面，特别是在 Upanishad 里面，就明确的去描述了这个绝对的真理，它是没有形象的，它是没有任何的活动，也没有任何的这个形象的展示的。
Certainly these statements in the Vedas can be understood in a different light.
那所以说呢，就是在伟达经里面的这些陈述是可以通过不同的层面去解释的，去理解的。
So, according to the impersonalists, means that the absolute truth has no form. It's formless. So it's just some energies. No, it's nothing more than that.
所以说呢，非人格主义者对这样的陈述的理解就是。绝对的真理是没有形象的，所以是它只是一种能量而已。
And he has no activities, no qualities.
它也没有任何的活动，也没有任何的品质。
So, and we are also part of the absolute truth. So we are in our self, when we realize ourselves, or better, when we come to the perfection stage, we realize that we are also formless, we have no activities and we have no qualities.
那所以因为我们也是这个绝对真理的一部分，所以呢我们就理解当我们达到了那个绝对真理的那个层面的时候呢，那我们也就变成了无形无相，也不可能有任何的品质和没有任何的活动了。
So that's the idea that once we become self-realized means we become one with that supreme spiritual energy which is formless, without activities, without qualities, without anything. It's just something that is very difficult for us to conceive what it is.
那所以说，当我们真正达到了自我觉悟的层面的以后了呢，我们也就和那个无形无相的那个灵性的能量相融合在了一起，也就意味着我们也就没有任何的活动，没有任何的形象，也没有任何的这个品质了。那我们也就没有办法真正的去理解我们到底是什么。
So the personal aspect of the absolute truth, which is the complete understanding of the absolute truth, is not very well understood by most spiritualists.
所以说呢，这个绝对真理的它的人格形象的这一方面，实际上是这个绝对真理的最高的那个层面的那个理解。但是呢，大部分的灵性主义者都没有办法理解到这一个层面。
Because the Lord does not manifest His form to everyone and anyone.
因为主他不会把他的人格形象向所有的人去展示。
For those who have still envy in their hearts, the Lord conceals his transcendental form.
对于那些内心还存在着嫉妒的人， 主呢就会把他超然的人格形象给藏起来。
Yeah, because impersonalists, they want to become one with the absolute truth, means they want to be supreme. They are not ready to be subordinated to somebody.
因为呢，这个非人格主义者，他们希望能够和主的这个能量合一，他们希望能够让自己变成至尊，所以呢，他们现在根本就还没有做好一个想要去从属于某个人的准备。
Actually, they are afraid.
事实上，他们害怕。
Because they are afraid, because in material existence, to have individuality, to have a form, we are subjected to opposition. We are subjected to be controlled by others, dominated, exploited by others.
因为在这个物质的存在的时候呢，它是有一个这个形象的。那当然有了这个形象以后呢，它就会被别人所控制，然后呢也会被别人所剥削，这样就会让他觉得很可怕。
So they think that if becoming spiritual realize we are going to remain individuals confronting other individuals, this is not going to stop.
那也就意味着，如果我们要是在这个灵性的层面，如果要是也是变成了一个独立的人，那这个独立的人跟其他的独立的人要面面相觑的话呢，那就变得就没有办法去停止之前所谓的这个剥削的这种状态了。
In other words, in the material existence, we are always controlled by somebody, dominated by somebody.
换句话说，就是在这个物质世界里面，我们总是被某人给控制和剥削着。
Nobody is independent in the material world.
所以在这个物质世界里面，没有任何一个人他是完全独立存在的。
So many spiritualists think that if I become realized, spiritual realized, that I don't want to remain controlled and dominated by somebody else.
所以呢，这些灵修主义者呢，他们就觉得，如果我要是变得有了这个觉悟以后，变得自我觉悟了以后呢，我可不想再被别人所控制和就是掌控着了。
So I want to be the supreme.
真的，我自己想要成为那个至尊。
So the idea of being the supreme means that they become one with the absolute truth.
那么这至尊的意思呢，也就是说呢，和绝对真理成为一。
And this can only exist on impersonal level, impersonal aspect.
而这个呢，也只能够是在非人格的这个层面，在非人格的这个方面去达以实现。
Because if they accept there is a supreme a personality, then we are subordinated.
Sorry, because they...
If they think there is a supreme personality, a supreme person, then means that we will going to be subordinated.
Okay, 就如果因为如果他要是想到有一个至尊人物的存在的话，那也就意味着我们得去从属于他。
So Krishna does not reveal his form so easily.
所以呢 ，Krishna 他就不会那么容易的去展示他的个人的形象。
Yes, many people saw Krishna, Lord Vishnu, so many incarnations when they come to the material world, but they have not realized, particularly Krishna, when he came a human type, I mean, human like a human form. Most people did not realize that he was the absolute truth.
那当然了，在这个物质世界，有很多人看到了主 Krishna, 主 Vishnu 的这个形象，但是呢，他们并没有意识到他就是那个绝对的真理。
Because the Lord remains covered by his yoga maya potency, so common people cannot understand who he is.
但是因为主呢，他被yoga maya 的这个力量所遮盖起来了，所以说普通的人是没有办法真正的理解他到底是谁的。
But in this verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes in a purport of the text 20-32 from the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says very clear that there is no truth superior to me. So he is a person speaking, and he says there is no truth superior to me.
但是呢，在今天我们阅读的圣典不在瓦坛第六篇的第三十二，就是第二篇的第六章的第三十二十节里面的要旨里面，施拉帕帕他就引述了伯加梵歌里面的这个诗节。那这个诗节呢，就是主 Krishna 他亲自就讲了，没有任何一个真理要高于他。
And then he gives a very wonderful example.
这是 Krishna 以人的这个形象讲的，然后 Krishna 他又给了一个非常美妙的一个例子。
He says, everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread.
他说呢，所有的这一切呢，他都依附在我的身上，就好像是珍珠在线上穿起来一样。
This is a very beautiful example given by Krishna himself.
对，这是主 Krishna 亲自本人所给予的非常美的一个例子。
To show how he is present personally everywhere, but nobody notices.
那么去展示了他其实是一个人物，但是没有人去注意到这一点。
Pearls, and we have our pearls like our necklaces, Tulasi necklaces. We see the pearls, but we don't see the string that is keeping them together.
比如说呢，我们戴在我们脖子上的这些珍珠项链，我们能够见到的是一颗颗的珍珠，但是却没有办法看到穿珍珠的这根线。
But without that thread, the pearls would not be together in a form of a necklace.
但是如果要是没有这根线的话呢，这些珍珠就不可能穿成像项链的这个样子。
And this is what Lord Brahma explains to Narada Muni in this verse 32, last verse we read. He said, I create, Lord Shiva destroys, but he, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the one who is maintaining everything.
那么就好像我们今天所阅读的这第三十二世节里面也是一样的，主 Brahma 他在向那儿的解释，他说呢，是我负责制造，而主希瓦负责毁灭，而他自己则作为人格守神，以他永恒的形象负责维系这一切。
So the maintenance is done by the Supreme Lord. He empowers Lord Brahma to create. He empowers Lord Shiva to destroy. But he is the one who is maintaining everything.
所以呢，是至尊主本人他在维系着所有这一切。他给了 Brahma 力量去创造，给了主希瓦力量去毁灭，但是他自己本人在维系着所有这一切。
So in fact, he is doing all of these things, but he does through his representatives.
那事实上其实是他自己本人做了所有的这些事情，但是呢，他是通过去给予他的代表以力量去让他们来做的。
But when it comes to maintenance, it takes personal charge.
但是说到维系这件事儿的时候呢，他就亲自出马了。
That's why Krishna, the Lord appear regularly in the material world to really make sure that everything is going all right. So he gets rid of the undesirables, he protects those who are pious, and he establishes the rules of engagement, the rules of how to behave properly in this material world.
那所以就为什么主他会有规律的前来这个物质世界，以确保物质世界里面的一切的运行都正常。那么呢，他会去斩除那些不想要的那些人，然后呢，会去保护那些这个虔诚的人，然后呢，还会建立起让大家都要去遵循的规章和制度。
So.Throughout all the Vedas, the personality of Godhead is, the absolute truth as a person is the most stressed.
所以说在整个的伟达经里面呢，关于至尊人，就是至尊真理，它是一个人的这个概念，实际上始终都是在被强调的。
And throughout the Bhagavad Gita, which is the cream of the whole Vedas, the essence of all Vedas, Krishna again and again explains how he is the Supreme, how the Absolute Truth is he, and he's a person, and he's a person with activities, with a form, beautiful activities, wonderful qualities, and wonderful exchanges with his devotees. He's a person.
所以说呢，这个《博迦梵歌》它是整部《韦达经》的精髓。那么在这整部《韦达经》这个《博迦梵歌》里面呢，主 Krishna 他都是强调了他如何是那个至尊的真理。那么这个作为这个至尊的真理的他，他是人格的，而且呢他是有形象的，他是有活动的，他也是有品质的，而且呢他是也和他所有的这些奉献者们有着非常美妙的活动的相互的互动和交流的。
And it says very clear the purpose of all the Vedas is to know him as a person.
而且呢他在整个的这个韦达经里面呢他也讲了非常的清楚，就是要去了解他，把他作为人去了解。
And this chapter we are studying is Lord Brahma is stating here again and again how the Absolute Truth is actually a person, is a Purusha, the Purusha is a person.
那我们在学习的现在的这一个章节里面呢，主 Brahma 他就在始终的强调 Krishna 他如何是一个人，那么他是 Purusha, 那 Purusha 本身他就是一个人。
So why Shukadeva Goswami is in replying to Parikshit Maharaj, why is he quoting this conversation between Lord Brahma and his son Narada Muni?
那么 Shukadeva Goswami 在回答 Parikshita 王的问题的时候，他为什么要引述主Brahma 和 Narada Muni 之间的这段对话呢？
Because Lord Brahma is the topmost authority in this material world.
因为主 Brahma 他是这个物质世界的最高长官。
He's there from the very beginning of the creation.
他在创造之初就已经存在了。
He's the one who actually does the secondary creation, which is very important.
那么他是那个进行二重创造的人，而这个二重创造呢是非常重要的一件事情。
He fills in all the elements within the universe, the planets, everything is filled in by Lord Brahma.
而且呢就是在这个星球里面的所有的这一切的这些元素和物质都是由主 Brahma 给填进来的。
And he never gives credit to what he has done to himself.
但是呢他从来都不把所有的这些功劳归功于他自己。
Because he knows very well that it was everything, all knowledge, all capacity, everything, all the ingredients to do whatever was necessary to do, everything was given by the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
因为他知道所有的这些知识以及所有的这些需要进行创造的所有的这些成分、这些材料，全部都是由至尊人格守神所赐给他的。
That's why right from the very beginning, as he mentions, he established the process of sacrifice. He himself performed sacrifice to satisfy the Supreme Lord, and all the progeny coming from him, they all engage in performing sacrifice to the Supreme Lord.
那也就是为什么在最开始的时候他就建立起了祭祀的这个体系，而他自己本人呢也会为至尊主去进行祭祀的活动，然后他所有的这些子孙后代也都会要向至尊主去进行祭祀的活动。
Because sacrifices are meant to establish very clear who is the supreme personality.
因为呢这个祭祀它就是要非常清晰的去竖起到底谁是这个至尊人格守神。
Because in the sacrifice, all the offerings are given to a particular person.
因为所有的这些祭祀，它的这个供奉呢，都是为了要给一个特别的人物。
And the sacrifices are meant for some person.
而且呢，这个祭祀它的举行本来就是要给某一个人的供奉。
To acknowledge the existence of that supreme person and express one's gratitude to that supreme person who is giving us everything.
也就是说呢，去承认有这样一位至尊人物的存在，并且呢，向这位至尊人物去展示我们的谢意，去表示我们的谢意，因为他赐给了我们一切。
So instead of replying directly by giving his own opinion, his own understanding, Shukadeva Goswami prefers to quote the authority, the supreme authority within the material world, Lord Brahma.
所以说呢，就是为了要更好的去展示他的这个观点，那么这个 Sukadeva Goswami 他更喜欢用的方式呢，是直接的去引述主 Brahma， 也就是这个最高执行长官的人的话。
So this is very important. It's not that we establish Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead just because you like him and we have some attraction for him and our friends told us, so we all agree. No, it's based on authority and based on very substantial authorities.
那并不是因为他被 Krishna 所吸引，然后他特别喜欢 Krishna 这么一个人，所以呢他就把 Krishna 给树立成是至尊人格的守神了，并不是这样的，而是在基于经典以及权威的支撑之下才会这么讲的。
So why in so many Upanishads there's statements seemingly indicating that the absolute truth is impersonal?
但是为什么像乌帕尼沙的还有很多经典里面，他们都好像把至尊人格守神给描述成非人格性的呢？
It's just to bewilder those who are not ready to surrender in love to the supreme absolute truth, those who are non-envious.
那么只是为了要去 you mean to bewilder those?
Yeah, to bewilder those who are not ready to accept him as a person and they are still envious. So in order to bewilder them, these statements are there.
Okay, 那么其实就是为了要去迷惑那些还没有做好准备并且内心还有一些这个嫉妒的那个人。那么就是这样的这种这个陈述呢，就会让他们内心有一些困惑。
So like this, they read this statement and say, oh, see, very clear, the absolute truth is impersonal. We are all one with the absolute truth.
那么所以当他们看了这个描述了以后呢，他们就说，你们看这个至尊人格守神他就是非人格的吧，那你看我们大家都是和这个非人格的绝对是在一起的。
And when Krishna comes, Krishna is, yes, is a manifestation of Brahman who takes on a form so he can deal with us, we have material forms, he can preach to us to understand that we are all one, we are all impersonal.
那么当 Krishna 他以人的形式存在的时候呢，他们就会说，那 Brahma Krishna 他会就是从 Brahma 的这个形象上展现出一个人的这个形象，而用这个人的形象来告诉我们，我们应该都是和 Brahma 相合一的，都是和他在一起的。
But Krishna's form is also an illusion, it's not real.
但是 Krishna 的这个形象呢，它依然也是一种幻象，并不是真的。
Like our forms are not real.
就好像我们的这个形象一样，都不是真的。
But for those who are personally, those who are devotees of the Lord, they understand the real meaning of those verses.
但是呢，作为主的奉献者，他们是真正的能够理解这些诗节中的真意的。
Yes, when the Lord says the absolute truth is informal, as no form, means as no material form.
是的，当主他说就是绝对的真理是没有形象的，是无形无相的时候，他的意思是说是没有一个物质的形象的。
And does not have activities means does not have material activities.
说他没有活动，也是意味着他是没有任何的物质的活动的。
He has no qualities, means he has no material qualities.
当他说没有这个品质的时候，也就意味着他是没有任何物质的品质的。
And this can only be understood under the guidance of those who have already accepted that the absolute truth is a personality.
而这个呢，也只有在那些已经接受了绝对是 是一个人格性的那些人的指导之下，我们才能够理解。
And then the whole absolute truth becomes very clearly understood.
然后这样的话呢，才能使整个的绝对真理能够非常清晰的被理解。
Yes, the absolute truth is impersonal, but is also personal.
是的，绝对真理它是非人格的，但与此同时呢，它又是人格的。
And the ultimate aspect of the absolute truth is the personal. The impersonal is coming from the person.
而这个这个绝对真理的最终的那个形象，它其实是人格的。那么这个非人格的特点呢，也是来自于那个人的。
So the and Krishna says very clear in the Bhagavad Gita that he is the basis of Brahman. Means Brahman is coming from him.
然后在《薄伽梵歌》中 ，Krishna 他也讲得非常的清楚，说他是 Brahman 的基础，也就意味着梵是来自于他的。
So this is the ultimate understanding.
所以呢，这个是那个最终的理解。
But we can only perceive this, can only come to this understanding by being guided by those who have already understood and accepted and they are devoted to the personality of Godhead.
但是呢，只有那些已经接受了这一点，并且是至尊人格守神的奉献者的这样人的指导，我们才能够理解。
Otherwise, most spiritualists are bewildered.
否则的话呢，大部分的这些灵修人士都是会被迷惑的，会很困惑。
For them, the supreme person remains covered by his yoga maya, and they cannot see, they cannot perceive him.
因为对于他们来说呢，就是至尊人格守神的这个真实形象是被 Yoga Maya 所覆盖着了的，所以说呢，他们是没有办法真正的见到。
Brahman is energy.
Brahman, 凡它是一个能量。
Yes, it's a spiritual energy. Being situated in Brahman means you don't have any more material existence. You are liberated.
那么它是一个灵性的能量，如果要是能够居于 Brahman 之中呢，也就意味着你就不会再有任何的物质的存在，而且呢你也已经是处在解脱的状态了。
So that's what many individuals want. They just want to be liberated from miseries in the material world.
那么这个呢是很多人想要得到的这个状态，就是他希望能够从物质世界的痛苦中解脱出来。
I suffer in this material world because I have a form, and this form, in my form, I'm confronting with other individual forms, and they exploit me, they hurt me, they make me suffer.
那么就是因为我有一个这个物质的形象，使我呢在其他的物质的形象的面前呢非常的痛苦，因为呢他们会伤害我，他们会剥削我，使得我呢就会很痛苦。
If I have a material form and engage in activities in this world, the activities I perform create reactions, and some of these reactions cause me so much suffering.
而且呢，我因为有了这个物质的这个形象，那么我就会在这个物质世界呢去从事活动。那么当我一从事活动了以后呢，我这个活动就会有一个反作用力，这个反作用力就会让我很痛苦，让我觉得很受罪。
And by having an individual existence, I'm subjected to birth, death, old age, and disease continuously. I don't want that.
而且就是由于我的这些活动呢，使我呢在这个物质世界就要一直的不断的循复着去进行生老病死，这是我不想要的。
I may desire to have a very sweet, loving relationship, but relationships in this world eventually turn sour. They become the source of so much pain.
那我当然了，想要去获得非常甜美的关系，但是呢，在这个物质世界的这些甜美的关系，最终呢都会变得非常的苦涩。所以呢，这样的苦涩的关系呢，总是会给我那么多的痛苦。
So this material existence is only trouble.
所以呢，这样的一个物质存在，它只是一个大麻烦而已。
And they are right.
他们说的确实很对。
But for them, what they want to stop is just stop this material existence. No more material existence.
但是他们想要做的事情呢，只是想要去停止这个物质的存在，不想要再有任何的物质存在了。
So this is just middle way.
所以这只是一个中道。
Means we just become free from suffering. But then what?
那所以这只是来了这个，就只走了一半，就是我们只是解脱了这个痛苦。那然后又怎么样呢？
It's like a person is stuck in the hospital ever, you know, his pipes all over his body and he's so much pain and he's taking so many medicines and he cannot move, he stays stuck in this bed and so many inconvenience, so many suffering, so much pain and so much disturbance. The only thing that is in his mind, when am I going to be free from all these problems?
那么就好像是这个住在医院里面的一个病人，那么他呢身上插满了管子，然后呢被这个困在床上，要吃很多的药，然后呢要这个受很多的苦。那么在这会儿呢，在这个病床上的这个人，他脑子里面想的唯一件事情就是，我什么时候才能够从这么痛苦的状态中解脱出来呢？
It's natural.
那所以这是很自然的。
Everybody wants to be free from that.
所有的人呢都希望能够从这样的状态中解脱出来。
But then what?
那然后又怎么样呢？
But then they want to resume their normal life, to be engaged in activities as before, to have nice relationship with family members and friends, you know, to go around and enjoy his existence.
那他实际上是希望他恢复之前的这个生活的状态，希望能够自由的生活，并且呢希望能够和他的家庭成员继续着这些爱心的这个活动。
So impersonalists just want to be free from the hospital, free from pain, that's all. They don't think about what comes after.
但是呢这个非人格主义者呢，他脑子里面想的就只是赶紧从医院里面出来。然后从这个医院的这个状态中解脱出来，但是他脑子里没有再去想这之后要干什么。
So this is the problem with impersonalism.
那所以这个就是非人格主义者的问题。
Yes, it is already one aspect of spiritual realization, no doubt.
那么毫无疑问，他已经处在了。对于灵性的觉悟的一个层面了。
If they really achieve that goal, it's already something spiritual.
那么如果他要是真的能够达到那个目标的话，那已经是一个灵性的状态了。
They are free from material existence.
他已经从物质的存在中解脱了出来。
But they don't really have a spiritual existence.
但是这会儿呢，他还没有一个灵性的存在呢。
Because they deny form, they deny activities, they deny qualities, they deny everything.
因为呢，他拒绝了形象，他拒绝了活动，他拒绝了品质，他拒绝了所有的这一切。
That's why so many statements are there indicating the absolute truth as formless, without activities, without qualities.
那也就是这个原因呢，使得很多的这些经典中就会。好像就会这个提及到这个绝对真理，它是没有形象的，是没有品质的，是没有活动的。
But the personalist, the devotee of the Lord, the supreme personality of Godhead, he knows no form means no material form, no activities means no material activities, no qualities means no material qualities, means spiritual activities, spiritual form, spiritual qualities. This is ultimate realization.
但是呢，那些人格主义者，也就是至尊人格守神的这些奉献者们，他们明白，所谓的没有形象是指的没有物质的形象，没有品质是指的没有物质的品质，没有活动是指的没有物质的活动，而是有灵性的品质、灵性的活动和灵性的灵性的形象、灵性的品质和灵性的活动的，那么这个呢是最终的觉悟。
And it's the only realization that is the most satisfying to the heart.
而这个呢是最高的一种觉悟，而且呢这种觉悟也是最能够让内心感到满足的觉悟。
And includes the realization of the impersonalist, because personalist also is also liberated from material existence.
但是呢，这个也就包含了非人格主义者的觉悟，因为呢，这个啊这个就是人格主义者的这个觉悟，它其实已经处在了对物质存在的解脱的状态了。
Means liberation from material existence is automatically there when we attain perfection, being connected with the supreme personality of Godhead.
也就是说呢，当我们达到了完美和至尊人格守神取得连接的时候，这个从物质的状态解脱的这个情况已经自然的在那儿了。
And this is the most reasonable realization and understanding, because in the material world we are attached to forms, we are attached to activities and qualities and relationships. This is normal for the individual soul within the material engagement.
而且呢，这其实也是一种非常自然的一种认知。因为在这个物质的生活中，我们是非常的依附于我们的形象、我们的品质以及我们的这个活动的。
So if we are impersonal, if our real existence is impersonal, why in illusion we think we are individuals, we think we have material qualities, and we think we can have exchanges with other individuals. Why these things here? If in reality we are all one energy, why in illusion we experience these things?
就如果要是真实的情况，要是我们都是合一的，要是无形无相的话，那我们为什么又会去有这样的虚幻的幻想，我们是有形象的，我们是有活动的，而且我们也是有品质的呢。
This exists because we in perfection these things exist.
那么我们之所以会有这样的想法的原因，是因为在完美的状态下，所有的这些事情都是存在着的。
The only the difference is that here, because we are covered by illusion, we identify with something that we are not. We identify the material bodies, material activities, material relationship. But it's because we had originally already a form. We had engagements. We had activities. We had qualities. We had relationships in a perfect state. Now, because we forgot that, We have some counterpart, like a reflection of what we have forgotten.
那么我们其实现在所处在的一个状态呢，就是我们被这个我被一些这个物质的概念给这个覆盖了。那么我们觉得我们是这个物质的躯体，我们有的是物质的活动，而且呢，我们可能也会有一些物质的这些这个品质。但实际上从本真的意识上来讲呢，我们实际上是有灵性的活动，有灵性的品质和有灵性的这些这个形象的。但是呢我们忘了，所以说呢我们就处在了这样的一种这个忘记了和 Krishna 之间有这个关系的这种状态。
Because no matter where we areNo matter where we are, either in the material world and the spiritual world, you remain individual souls.
因为无论我们在哪儿，无论我们是在灵性的世界还是在物质的世界，我们其实都会一直保存着这个个体的灵魂的状态的。
We forgot our spiritual form, then we identified with the material form.
因为我们忘记了我们灵性的形象，所以呢，我们也就认同了自己的这个物质的形象了。
We forgot our devotional activities, loving activities, as offering to the Lord, and then now we devote ourselves to satisfy our bodies, to please the extension of our bodies, our family members, our friends, society.
那因为我们忘记了我们的灵性的和 Krishna 之间的充满了爱的这些活动，使得我们现在呢就去认同于我们的从事的这个物质的这个活动和我们的身体相连的以及和我们的这个物质的家庭相连的这些活动了。
We forgot our loving relationship with Krishna and his devotees. Now we try to cope with that, you know, by engaging in material loving relationships with our family members, our friends, and this because we need that. It's normal. It's a normal thing.
那么我们因为忘记了和 Krishna 以及和奉献者之间的这种关系，使得呢我们现在呢就需要去搭建和我们的这个物质的这个家庭还有朋友之间的这种关系，然后在这种关系中呢去寻找那种爱的感觉，因为就是这些是我们本来就需要的一种状态。
Our individuality remains. We still an individual person.
因为呢就是我们的这个个体性依然还存在的，是一个个体的人格的这个状态存在的。
Only here, because of illusion, everything is covered by this material veil, and we think in terms of temporary existence, temporary form, temporary loving relationship, because we are covered by illusion, that's all.
但是呢，由于我们是被这个虚幻的物质的这个面纱给遮盖了，所以说呢，我们才会觉得现在在这个物质世界里面，所有的这些都是短暂而临时的。
It's like in a dream.
那所以我们现在目前为止处的这个状态就好像是一个梦境一样。
Dream means it happens when we are sleeping.
梦做梦也就意味着是在睡觉的时候发生的事儿。
We are sleeping means we are oblivious of our form, oblivious of our activities, oblivious of our loving relationships. We are oblivious because we are sleeping.
那么因为我们在睡觉，所以说呢我们就忽视了我们真正的形象，我们真正的品质，以及我们真正的那些爱的关系和活动。
And then we may dream.
We may dream. 然后呢我们就有可能会做梦。
And in dream, we see ourselves in a different form. We see ourselves doing different activities, engaging with all sorts of people, you know, all kinds of things created in a dream.
那么所以呢我们在梦里面呢就会创造出各种各样的这种景象，我们就会梦里面我们是会一个不同的形象，然后呢我们有不同的这种活动，然后和各种各样不同的人在一起。
Why do we have these things in dreams?
那么为什么我们会梦到这些呢？
Because we have experienced similar things in our awakened existence. That's why in dreams these things manifest in different ways, not ordinary ways, not even real ways, but it manifests because we have some experience of this.
那么就是因为当我们在醒着的这个状态的时候呢，我们也会经历同样的这些类似的事情，但是呢我们所以呢我们在梦境里面呢也会看到相似的但并不是真实的状态的这些情况。
But in generally people never consider whatever they experience in dream to be real once they awaken up.
但是通常来说，当人从梦里面醒过来了以后呢，他就不会再去认为他梦里面的那些情景是真的了。
We just say, "Oh, it was a dream."
那我们就会想，哦，那就是一个梦而已嘛。
Maybe a good dream, maybe or bad dream, but it was just a dream.
那么也许那可能是个美梦，也许可能是个噩梦，但无论如何呢，它只不过是一个梦。
And eventually we forgot.
然后最终呢，我们会把这个梦给忘了。
That's the same. Material existence is just a dream.
那所以呢，这同样如此，就我们的这个物质的存在呀，它不过是一个梦而已。
So we dream we have a form, we dream we have activities, we dream we have qualities in a relationship. Because in our awakened stage, we have all these.
就比如说我们的梦里面呢，我们是有形象的，我们是有品质的，我们是有活动的，而且我们有各种各样的关系。原因呢就是在于我们在醒着的状态的时候呢，我们所有的这些都是存在的。
So that's what the impersonalists fail to understand, because they in their hearts they still harbor some envy.
但是呢，非人格主义者他是没有办法理解到这一点的，原因就是因为在内心中还有一些嫉妒。
So for them, the Lord he covers himself by his yoga maya potency. So they cannot, when they go through all these scriptures, they only see things that satisfy their desires to be the one, to be impersonal, to be the supreme themselves.
所以说呢，这个主呢就用 yoga maya 的这个力量呢，把他们给这个遮盖了起来。让他们没有办法理解，所以当他们在去阅读经典中的内容的时候呢，他们只是按照他们自己的这个愿望去理解这个经典里面的这个内容。
嗯 ，But in the ultimate state, yes, the supreme personality is there.
但是呢，从这个最终的这个状态上来讲呢，至尊人格守神他本来就是在那儿的。
And this is what Lord Brahma is trying to let Narada Muni understand very clearly.
而这个呢，也是主 Brahma 他试图要让 Narada 非常清晰的理解的途径。
Which means what he wants us to understand because he's our original Acharya.
那么这也是他想让我们理解的，因为主 Brahma 他是我们最原初的那位 Acharya。
So we trust the statements of these personalities because we know they are pure and they have seen the absolute truth. They have realized that.
那所以说呢，我们会去相信这些 Acharya 的话，因为呢。他们已经见到了真理，而且呢，他们也有了这个对于绝对真理的觉悟。
So that's why we don't doubt when you read Srila Prabhupada's books, his purpose. We don't doubt because you know, is realize yet realize the absolute truth. And even though he states his own realization, he still quotes from other acharyas.From other powerful acharyas just to substantiate everything he says.
所以呢，我们在阅读舍拉帕帕的书籍以及阅读他的要旨的时候呢，我们就不会有任何的疑惑，因为首先呢，他自己是有这些觉悟的，而且呢，他也会用经典里面的其他的 acharya 的这些觉悟来支撑他的觉悟。
So just to see how all the acharyas, self-realized acharyas, they all corroborate the same thing. They all say the same thing. There is no differences in their statements.
而且我们就看到所有的这些 acharya 们，他们所做出来的这个结论，他们所说的话都是非常一致的。
And this is all coming from the original person, Lord Brahma.
而所有的这一切呢，全部都来自于那个最原初的那个人，主 Brahma。
This is the wonderful thing of being connected with the cyclic succession.
那也就是这个呢，使得我们能够和这个使徒传系相连接在一起，变得非常的美妙。
Otherwise, we cannot really have the right understanding of the absolute truth if you are not connected with the proper sampradaya.
如果我们是没有和这个恰当的 Sampradaya 使徒传系连接在一起的话，我们是没有办法正确的去理解这一切的。
And we cannot create a Sampradaya. The Sampradaya is there.
而且呢，这个 Sampradaya 使徒传系也是不能够被创造出来的，因为它是本来就在那儿的。
Established by the Supreme Lord Himself.
这个 Sampradaya 是由至尊主本人所建立起来的。
He is the original of all bona fide sampradayas.
那他是所有的正宗的 sampradaya 使徒传系的原初源头。
So we are very special fortunate because through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada we are connected with this very special sampradaya coming from Lord Brahma.
那我们是非常幸运的，因为全部都是来自于 Srila Prabhupada 的仁慈。才能够使我们和由主 Brahma 为源头的这个 Sampradaya 相连接在一起。
So this is really a very special causeless mercy because most of us certainly don't have any qualification to be part of this Sampradaya.
对呢，这确实是非常无缘的仁慈，因为我们大部分的人是没有任何的资格去和这条 Sampradaya 所连接在一起。
Nobody can say, oh, I am qualified to be seated here and hearing all these statements from Srimad Bhagavata. This is all mercy of Srila Prabhupada.
没有任何一个人说我有资格坐在这儿听圣典波迦瓦坛里面的信息和内容，因为所有的这一切全部都来自于 Srila Prabhupada 的仁慈，无缘的仁慈。
Which a culmination for us is the culmination of all the acharyas in the sampradaya.
而且呢，就是这里面是由所有的这些
Srila Prabhupada is the culmination of all the different acharyas in our sampradaya. This is how we understand all the acharyas through Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah, yeah. 那么就是由于 Srila Prabhupada 使我们才能够去了解在这条 sampradaya 上的所有的这个 acharya 们的教导。
Yeah, we stop here.
讲课呢就先到这里。So now I see a question from 小草 Mataji. 请问阿叔，经常听灵性导师讲课说我们应该弃绝物质，但是在现实生活中，在中国我发现很多修行人以及奉献者过度的去节，比如冬天不穿棉衣，不打暖气，舍不得吃，舍不得穿，对自己吝啬，也对别人吝啬。我想问问阿叔，这种弃绝是否有意义？Mushroom, my question is that we always heard the spiritual master said that we need to detach from our material life. However, in the real life that, especially in China, I have seen many spiritual practitioners, including some devotees, they are over-detached. For example,in the very cold winter, they don't wear heavy coat, and also they don't use the heating system in the room. They don't feel like to eat nice food or wear warm coat. They are very minus to themselves. They are very stingy to themselves and also stingy to the others. So my question to you is that, is this a meaningful detachment?Is this
no,
a way of meaningful detachment?
No, it's not.
不是的。
No, no.
不是的。
Detachment means, real detachment comes from becoming attached to the Supreme Lord.
那么真正的弃绝来自于对至尊主的依附。
Yes, if we have to be ready to tolerate,difficult situations, if those situations manifest in our lives, we have to be able to tolerate.
那么我们应该做好一个什么准备呢？就是当困境来临的时候，我们应该做好去容忍困境的准备。
But we don't need to impose upon ourselves this type of austerities.
但是呢，我们不需要强迫自己处在这样的苦行之中。
No, our real austerity is to sacrifice some time to chant the holy names and to offer our devotion to the Lord. That's our real austerity. We give up the material attachment just for the sake of engaging in devotional service, pleasing the Supreme Lord.
那么我们真正要做的苦行呢，就是去向至尊主供奉，并且呢去唱诵圣名。我们需要去牺牲掉我们的这个依附之行，但是呢要去供奉，就是要去为至尊主去做服务。就是我们的这种依附，我们的这种气绝，来自于对至尊主的服务。
So our detachment comes from becoming attached to the Lord and naturally become detached of material things, but we don't need to impose any particular heavy austerity just for the sake of being very austere.
那所以说呢，我们的这个气绝呢，是来自于对至尊主的依附，来自于对至尊主的这种供奉。但是呢，我们不需要人为的去放弃掉我们的这些这个物质的这个条件，然后让自己人为的处在一种非常苦行的状态。
Krishna does not ask these things from us.
而且呢 Krishna 他也没有要求我们这么去做。
If you are in a situation that we have to, these things are there imposed upon us by nature, then we have to tolerate, but we are not going to impose these things upon us.
但是如果要是我们就处在了一个就是一个自然的要让自己去受苦的一种状态的话呢，那我们就需要去容忍这种状态，但是呢我们不需要人为的去强迫自己处在这样的状态下。
So we don't practice austerity just for the sake of austerity. We practice how to devote ourselves to the Lord, how to please the Lord.
那所以说呢，我们不要就是为了要去进行苦修而让自己去处在一种非常苦的这种状态，而是呢要通过对主的这种奉爱之心去展现我们的弃绝之情。
Impersonalists and yogis, they may perform these harsh austerities, not the Vaishnava, not the devotees.
那么一些非人格主义者以及瑜伽师，他们可能会让自己处在一个非常的这个苦行的状态，但是Vaishnava, 就是至尊主的奉献者是不会这样的。
No, the Lord says, offer me delicious food, and then you can honor his delicious food, and if you can live in comfortable apartments, we should live in but we should not be in the mood of trying to enjoy these things for our own sense gratification. We should use everything in Krishna's service.
那么 Krishna 说呢，我们要给他这个供奉这个食物，所以呢，我们要怀着爱心去向他供奉。而且如果我们要是住在一个这个家里面，就是环境比较好的这种公寓里面的话呢，那我们也应该是可以住在这里面的。但是我们的这种心态是不要去存着去进行感官享乐的这种心态去做这个，就是去居住。
Okay, next question.
阿叔，May I ask a question just following with this? 对不起啊，
yeah.
我想就是接着这个 Mataji 问这么一个问题。But, say for example, like, Raghunath Das Goswami, he is purposely to put himself in a very austere situation. For example, he went to the outside of the temple and collected those remnants from the garbage of the food and eat them. So what kind of mentality of that? I know it's Raghunath Goswami, that is, he's a very, very exalted soul. But could you explain a little bit about that kind of manifestation?
Okay, you translate.
就是我想就是追问阿叔一个问题，就是六位 Goswami 之中其中的一位，就是 Raghunath Das Goswami, 他会人为的把自己给处在一个非常的苦行的一个状态，比如说呢，他会到加克纳的庙门外面的这些就是收集剩的食物的那个地方，去把这些人们剩的这个食物给捡起来，然后把它给吃掉。那我想请阿叔，因为虽然说这个 Raghunath Das Goswami 他是非常崇高的一位人物，他跟咱们完全不是处在一个境界，但是呢，我想请阿叔帮咱们解释解释，就是这样的一种现象是一种什么样的现象。
He didn't want to waste time engaging any material activities or going around begging. So he understood the value of prasad, even though he is in the garbage. He understood the value of prasad, and he was very delighted to take this thing. For him, it was not austerity. For outsiders, it looked like austerity.
Okay. 那么 Raghunath Das Goswami Maharaj 呢，他认为时间呢是非常的珍惜的，所以说呢，他不想浪费时间到别的地方去进行乞讨，去乞讨这个食物，而且呢，他也知道就是这个主加克纳特的这个 prasadan 的珍贵之处。那么，即便是这个 prasadan 是放在垃圾桶里面，那么他也觉得这个 prasadan 呢是非常的这个珍惜的。而且呢，他去吃这个垃圾桶里面的这个prasadan， 对于他来说也是一件非常开心的事儿。他不觉得这是一个苦行。从外在来讲呢，看起来好像是一个苦行。
So when he was collecting this prasad already half rotten and washing the rotten part with the core, which was still good, he was enjoying that Mahaprasad of the Lord, and even to the point that Lord Chaitanya, when he found out, he came there and he snatched his prasad and he ate with great delight. So they were just giving a teaching how prasadam is always very purifying, always so wonderful.
而且呢，就是当Ragna Goswami 他把这个从垃圾桶里面捡出来的这个食物，然后把坏掉的这一部分洗掉了以后呢，就是里面没有坏的那部分的那个 prasad 依然还是非常美味的。所以说呢，他就能够非常开心的把它吃掉。那当主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 发现他这一点的时候呢，他也来到这个地方，是和圣人一起荣耀这个 prasad。他们呢，用这个方式来向我们展示 prasad 的力量所在。
But he did not do this all the time. This was in the beginning, because before he came from a very, very wealthy family. Everybody engaged in great sense gratification, a very, very opulent life. And he wanted to attract the attention of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to show that he was not attracted to that opulent life anymore. And he was actually never attracted to that. And he wanted to show physically how he could live in a very simple way and just eat the remnants discarded of Mahaprasad. But then after that, he did not do that.
而且呢，就是 Ragnanda Goswami 他也并不是一直都是这么做的，因为他之前呢是来自一个非常非常富有的家庭，而在这个家庭里面呢，很多人都是在过着一种享受着感官享乐的这样的生活。那么 Ragnanda Goswami 他为了要去向主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 展示他并不是一个想要去享受的一个人，他没有那么依附这个感官享乐的生活，事实上他从来都没有对感官享乐的生活依附。那么所以说呢，他要让主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 看到他哪怕是吃垃圾桶里面的这个 Mahaprasad 他也能够过得很开心。所以但是在这之后呢，他就没有再这么做了。
Okay.
Thank you, Ashu. Thank you, Ashu.
The next question.
Yeah, the next question is from Sati Mataji. 顶位阿叔，请问我们在物质躯体内是一直在梦中的状态，受制于物质三重属性，总是处于不完整、不完美的无知的状态。那么在这具物质躯体没有瓦解之前，我们是不是能够完全的觉醒而觉悟到自己与主的关系？还是只有通过不断的修习，只是离开躯体那一刻才能够完全的觉悟。Ashu, please accept my very humble obeisances. My question is that when we are inside of this material body, we are in the state of dream. We have been entangled by the mode of the material nature. And so in that case, we are always in the situation of not complete and not perfect, and also in the ignorance. And so before this material body decomposed, do we have any hope to wake or got the realization for the relationship between us and the Lord? Or we have to continuously to practice, and also till the moment of death, we can get the realization. Till the moment of the death, we will have the chance for the realization.
No, realization can come anytime.
不是的，我们的这个觉悟是在任何一个时刻都可能来临的。
Yeah, if you practice sincerely, honestly, and seriously,you can achieve perfection while living, not just at the time of death.
那么如果你要是能够非常的诚实的真诚的认真的去修习的话，那这个觉悟是在我们还活着的时候就能够达到，并不是说是在死亡那一刻才可以达到。
We can realize our loving relationship while still living in this material body.
那我们在这个物质躯体里面，我们就有可能去觉悟到和主之间的美妙的关系。
But then we will become totally free from the material conditioning. Means even though we are in the material bodies, in the material world, we become really immediately situated on a transcendental platform, not affected by the three modes of nature.
而且呢，我们也能够让自己摆脱这个受条件限制的物质状态，也就意味着当我们依然还在这个物质躯体里面的时候，那我们也可以不再受这个物质自然三重属性的影响了。
Was another question of Sumukhi Radha before you skipped.
Oh,
after the first question was the question of Sumukhi Radha.
Yeah, yeah. 对不起 ，Sumukhi Radha 妈咪，我漏看了。我现在看到这个问题。顶拜亲爱的阿叔，如果人生如梦，我们该怎么面对情感关系呢？看清真相，不依附也不抗拒，来去无牵挂，是吗？只要身与意都集中在服务至尊主的莲花足上，但表面上我们依然是要去努力维系生活中的各种关系，即便是奉献者彼此之间，灵性导师与门徒之间，也都是在用心地营造着彼此之间的关系。物质形态中的人与人之间的关系与灵性关系之中的人与人之间的关系有何本质的不同呢？彼此之间的不同在承担责任和奉献义务吗？Ashu, her way of asking the question was many of the questions, however, all of them has been combined with one. So maybe I read the whole thing and to give you a complete picture about the whole thing. Please accept my very humble obeisances, dear Ashu. If the life is like a dream, how can we, what is the right way for us to face our relationships?And if we see the truth, so we are not attached and also not resist those relationships, right? Means about we don't really hold on or attach anything. As long as we put our body, mind, and word in the service of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, however, from...superficially, we are still seems that we are trying all of our efforts to maintain our life and also maintain all kinds of relationships, even among the devotees and also in between of the spiritual master and the disciples. They are also very carefully to maintain their relationships. However, for that kind of relationship maintaining, how is different with relationship maintaining between the people in this material world to maintain those material relationships? Isn't that true? It doesn't matter what kind of relationship.All of us are trying to be responsible for each other, and also all of us are trying to dedicate and devote to each other.
Yeah, we have certainly the loving relationships in this material world are temporary.
那么我们在这个物质世界的这些爱的关系毫无疑问是临时的。
They are temporary, but we don't deny that they exist.
那么虽然这些关系是临时的，但是我们并不否认他们是存在的。
So we have to spiritualize our relationships.
对呢，我们必须要让我们的关系变得灵性化。
And in order to spiritualize these relationships, we have to have a clear understanding of who we are and who is everybody.
但是呢，为了要让我们的关系变得灵性化，我们就必须要清晰地知道我们到底是谁，以及其他的人都是谁。
I am a spiritual soul and I have an eternal loving relationship with the Lord. And these are also individual souls and they also have a loving relationship with the Lord.
那么我是一个个体的灵魂，那么我和至尊主之间呢是有一个爱的关系的。那么其他的这些人呢，他们也都是个体的灵魂，他们和至尊主之间呢也有一个爱的关系。
So I understand they may not understand because they don't have this knowledge. So I should try as much as I can, as I feel possible, I should try to enlighten them and this knowledge too.
那么我也许明白了，是由于我有这个知识，但是其他的人对这件事还不明白的原因呢，是因为他们还没有这个知识。所以我应该做的一件事情呢，就是尽我所能把这个知识去给予他们。
Maybe give them opportunity to come in touch with the one book from Srila Prabhupada, small book or big book, whatever book, book here and there, so they may look through and they become maybe attracted.
那也许呢，可能想办法啊，让他们接触Srila Prabhupada的书籍，无论是一本小书还是一本大书，那么让他们没准有这么一个机会，能够看一看Srila Prabhupada这个书籍里面的这个内容，那然后呢，也许可能他们就能够明白一点。
We take advantage of this material relationship to give them prasadam.
而且呢，我们也会很好的利用我们的这个物质关系去把prasadam给予他们。
If it's possible, make them hear the holy name.
如果要是有可能的话呢，让他们听一听圣名。
And if you see there is a little interest, you can try to explain things a little more.
那如果要是他们有一点兴趣的话呢，你就可以试着给向他们解释的更多。
So yes, we are in temporary relationship, but we can use these temporary relationships to take advantage of this temporary relationship to give to these individual souls an opportunity also to know Krishna.
那么我们虽然说是处在一些短暂的临时的这种关系，但是我们却可以很好的去利用这个短暂的关系，然后呢，把这个Krishna 知觉，就是 Krishna 的这个相关的知识呢，也通过这个短暂的关系去给予他们。
Certainly, we have to be very cautious.
那当然呢，我们必须要很小心。
But we don't deny that there is a relationship with them, even though we know it's temporary, it's not a real relationship, but there is some relationship with them. So we naturally as devotees we want to offer love to the Lord and offer love to all individual souls as well.
那么虽然说呢这个关系是短暂而临时的，但是呢我们却不要去否认这个关系的存在。所以说呢我们虽然要通过爱主，然后呢把爱主的这种情怀呢也都传递给和主有关系的这些人，通过这个关系。
We don't just care for to satisfy their material needs as much as we can do, but we try to give a little more that they really require, they really need to understand that this type of loving relationships is not perfect, it's temporary.
那所以说呢，我们并不仅仅是满足在物质上的他们这个需求，而且呢，我们要试着让他们知道。就是现在展现出来的这种关系它其实是不足够的，就是它现在我们现在这种关系它只不过是一种就是一种临时而短暂的一种关系的展示。
If they become really antagonist to our spiritual practice, then yes, we better stay a little aloof from them. We don't need to take drastic decisions if you cannot, but at least stay aloof from their influence.
但是如果他们要是真的不是没有办法去接受我们的这个灵性的休息的话呢，那我们就尽量的最好是能够离他们稍微的远一点，然后呢不要被他们所影响。
Yeah, you still love them, but you don't get involved in their material things that you know it's useless and it will just distract you from your devotional practices.
那你依然还是非常的爱他们，但是呢不要被他们的这种物质的这种作为或者是这些想法呢来去影响你自己的这个分爱的休息和服务。
So stay a little aloof from all their materialistic interests and things.But while without showing any adversity or anything against them, this should not be done.
但是呢，不要显示出任何的不喜欢，或者说是这个 厌离的这种态度去对待他们，但是呢要尽量的远离他们的那些的物质的倾向和物质的做派，而不要让这些事情去影响到你自己。
And if they are seniors, you want to give advices, you listen, you say yes, yes, but you don't do.
那如果你要是这个比如说是家里面的这个长者的话呢，如果你要是想要 ，sorry，
no， if they want to give you advices.
OK. 就但如果要是就是你们家里面的这个长辈，如果要是想给你一些建议意见的话呢，你就听着就行了。听着完了以后呢，就是但是不要卷他们的这个说法去做。
Yeah, I mean, sure, okay, right, yeah, but you don't need to follow them or whatever they do because we are following spiritual guidance.
就是阳奉阴违就可以了，然后我们不要去按他们的这个话做，我们只是要去按照我们自己的这个灵性的指导去做。
But sometimes you'll be surprised by being in a respectful, having a respectful attitude. Sometimes they may say things without knowing, they may say things that can be very useful in our spiritual life.
但是呢，我们还是应该一直都存着这种尊敬心，因为有的时候我们会发现他们所讲述的一些话，对于我们的灵性的修行来说也是非常的有益的。
When Srila Prabhupada was in a...
Sorry.
Finish?
Yeah.
When Srila Prabhupada was in America in the early years, in the first year he was suffering from his heart and a very drunk doctor, totally drunk, you know. He told Prabhupada that, yeah, the best thing you could do is to go for a walk every morning. This is the best for your heart.
那么在薛拉帕帕第一年来美国的时候呢，那会儿他这个身体的状况很差，然后呢有一个这个喝的醉醺醺的一位，就是喝的很醉很醉的一个大夫跟他说，他说你啊每天应该去散散步，清晨去散散步，这样对你的心脏非常有好处。
Prabhupada could have thought, oh, he's a materialistic doctor, what does he know exactly? And besides that, he's totally drunk. Why should I pay attention to his advice?
那么舍拉帕帕他这个态度本来可以是这样的，就是你不过是一个物质主义的一个大夫，你懂什么呀？而且呢，你又喝得这么醉，你能给我一些什么样的建议呢？
He could have thought like that. What kind of advice can he give me?
他本来就会有这样的想法，你能给我出点什么主意呢？
But you know, Srila Prabhupada took seriously that he saw that was a good advice, and from that time he started having his morning walks, and he did that until the end of his life.
但是事实上呢，这个 Srila Prabhupada 呢，他非常的认真的听取了这位大夫的这个意见。所以从那天开始呢，他就一直到他生命结束的时候，他都每天都会去进行清晨的散步。
So good advices can come from bad people sometimes.
所以有的时候呢，这个好的建议也会来自于不好的人。
So family members are certainly they are attached to us and they wish us the best according to what they understand is the best.But sometimes they may say things that can be useful. You don't need to deny everything coming from them just because they are materialists and their relationship is temporary, etc., etc.
那么那个家人呢？虽然说他们是物质的，而且呢，他们也会按照他们的心意去祝福我们。他们觉得那对我们最好的，他们是会给我们这样的这种祝福。但是呢，这有的时候呢，这个我这个家人也会给我们非常好的建议，所以呢，我们也应该洗耳恭听。我们不应该觉得我们和他们之间是这种短暂而临时的关系，而且呢，是这个他们是物质主义者，所以呢，我们就不要去听他们的建议了，不要这样。
So, it's we are put together because of our previous karma, and now we should take advantage to.You know, try to give them, to those who are close to us because of family ties, try to give them some opportunity to spiritualize their existence to us, giving something, either knowledge or, or prasadam or the holy name, somehow give them something that can benefit them spiritually. It's an opportunity because we have already a contact, a very close contact with these people.
那我们之所以能够这一辈子再成一家人的原因呢，是由于上世的因果报应所致的。那么所以既然我们都已经有了这种家庭的这种维系，我们已经有这种挺亲近的这种关系了的话呢，那我们就应该利用这种机会去把或者是圣名，或者是关于 Krishna 的知识，或者说是这个 prasadam 能够通过某种方式去给予他们，然后让他们能够从中获益。
We don't need to show detachment that you neglect them, you don't care for them. You don't need to do that. It's no benefit.
那么这个我们不需要去对他们展示出一种弃绝之心，然后呢也不再去变得六亲不认了。那么这样是不好的，而且呢我们也是不需要这样去做的。
And we should show a good example of good people.
那么我们应该是树立起一个好人的好榜样。
So the first person, people that can be impressed is our those who are connected with us.
那么首先能够被我们所影响的是那些和我们联系在一起的人。
See, these are the people we can impress the most.
那么所以说我们的家人是我们能够最能够影响的人了。
So it's an opportunity.
所以这是一个机会。
Okay, so Mukira, there's another question. After the question of Sati.
Yes, he's right in front of me. So Mukira Radha Maji 的下面一个问题，能够进入我们的使徒传系的，能够进入我们的使徒传系的确是莫大的幸运，但是我们依然能够看到很多其他的传系的存在和发展，也吸引着一部分群体的追随。是否不管是哪个瑜伽的年代，都会存在属于主的不同扩展的化身的虔诚的奉献者，他们最终是要回到不同的灵性的空间呢？比方说主希瓦的奉献者，主Rama 的奉献者等等。It's really a great fortune for us to be in the parampara. However, we still can see that there are many paramparas are existence and also are developed and also attracted some group of people to follow them. Is that true that it doesn't matter in any yoga, we will have the different devotees to follow the different incarnations of the Lord, and however they will go to the different spiritual realm. For example, like the devotees of the Lord Shiva and also the devotees of Lord Rama.
Yes, according to our the devotion we have for a particular incarnation of the Lord, we go to their planet.
Could you say it again, Ashwa?
If you develop a devotion for a particular incarnation of the Lord, after attaining perfection, we go to their planet.
Okay. 就是如果你要是对主的某一个化身培养出了情感，那么当你达到完美之后呢，你就会去到那个化身的星宿去。
So we have to be situated in a particular sampradaya.
但是呢，你必须要让自己处在那个特定的 sampradaya 里面。
So we are very fortunate because we are in a sampradaya that we worship the original personality of Godhead, Krishna.
那么我们非常的幸运呢，因为我们所进入的这个 sampradaya， 他所崇拜的是最原初的那个人，就是 Krishna。
But those who worship the Lord in other forms, in other sampradayas, they also achieve perfection.
但是呢，去崇拜主的其他的化身的处在别的 sampradaya 使徒传系里面的那人呢，他们也能够达到完美。
But in perfection, there are also grades of perfection.
但是呢，他们的那样的完美呢，也是伟大的完美。
Imperfection not there. In perfection, there are different grades of perfection.
Okay, okay.
Not in their perfection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 我说错了，对不起啊。就是在这个完美里面呢，是有不同层级的完美的。
So in Vaikuntha planets where we worship the different incarnations of the Lord, we can achieve the relationship of a servant, whereas in achieving the loving devotion for Krishna, we can develop a relationship more than just a servant. You can become friend of the Lord or parents or even lovers of the Lord. So that's the difference. It's just the grades of perfection. But any loving relationship with the Lord with any incarnation is perfect and complete.
那比如说在外昆塔和主的对主的这种崇拜，然后达到的这种完美呢，他所达到的这种完美是普人的这个层级的完美。但是呢，如果要是和 Krishna 的处在的这种关系所达到这种完美呢，就不仅仅是普人的这种完美了，他还可以成为和主之间的这种朋友啊，还有爱侣啊，以及家长啊之间的这样的这种关系下的这种完美。所以说呢，达到这种完美是有不同层级的，但是呢，所有的这些完美都是完美的。
So we should be very careful to not point out things on other worshippers of different forms of the Lord. They are all Vaishnava. They are all devotees of the Lord. They're just in different sampradayas who are there.Goal is to attain a particular incarnation of the loving, develop a relationship with a particular incarnation of the Lord that they are attached to, but that's okay.
所以说呢，我们要非常非常的小心，不要去评判、去崇拜主的其他的化身的那些崇拜者们，因为他们都是 Vaishnava。那么这个去在崇拜主的不同的这个化身的这种形象的状态下，他们其实和那个形象也都培养出了这种爱的关系，而且呢也都是能够达到完美的，而且也是可以的，没有问题的。
OK, the next one,
the next one is from 魔变总裁孟丹。Anyway, this is from a devotee. So,这位奉献者问的问题是，请问阿叔，亲人离开躯体后的第二天给他涂上提拉克，给全身喷上了恒河水，嘴里放进了图拉西叶，全身撒上了供奉给主的鲜花，那么他的灵魂会受益多少呢？顶拜阿叔的莲花族。 The question is that one of the relatives left the body, and the second day of the soul left the bodywe put the tilak on his body and also sprinkled the Ganges water on his body and also put the tulasi leaves in his mouth and also smeared the flower offered to the Lord on his body. So for this type of situation, how much of the soul can be benefited from all of the activities? Thank you.
It's nice. It's nice. It can guarantee that it takes a human form of life, and you will be somehow attracted by the devotees. How much is going to take advantage of that, you don't know, but at least they will have an opportunity to come in touch with devotees.
那么首先呢，这是一个很好的一种做法，因为呢他本身他是有这个处在这个人的身形之下，而且呢他还有机会出于某种机会接触了这个奉献者。那么这种做法到底是能够得到多少的这种益处，我们是不知道的，但是有一件事情是可以确认的，就是至少他在下一生的时候是有机会再次的接触奉献者的。
嗯， So this is nice.
所以这是很好的，非常好的。
This is what we should do to our departed family members and friends.
而且呢，我们应该对我们去世的亲属和朋友都应该去做您在上面所描述的这些活动。
Next question.
Smriti Radama 的偈，谢谢阿叔，保持各种不同的关系的合适距离也真是不容易，有时候也需要勇敢的放下，尤其是当关系已经成为了彼此的负担和捆绑的时候，所谓缘尽之时勉强挽留也是无益的。 This is the comments from the answer you gave it to her just now. She said that thank you very much. However, it's not easy to maintain all of the relationships. And also, it's not that easy to keep a proper distance with all of the relationships. Sometimes we do need to be courageously to put this relationship aside, especially when those relationship is a burden or a kind of a bundle to each other. So when the fate is end, it's even we still compulsorily to maintain this relationship, that is in vain.
You have to see this is according to time and circumstances, and you have to see it's a fact that if the relationship is really a nuisance to our spiritual practice, then it's better, as I mentioned, stay aloof, stay away from it. But you don't need to develop any hatred or any bad feelings against the person just for your own sake. And for the sake of the person to not commit offenses, it's better keep a good distance.
那也确实是这样的，就是随着时间、地点和情况的这种推移，当我们的这种关系它不能够再去帮助我们的这个风爱的这个休息的时候，就像我刚才在课上所讲的那样，就是最好是处在一种远离的一种状态，但是呢，也不需要和这个人之间产生任何的这种憎恨的这种情绪。只不过呢，就是为了让他不去影响的这个分外的这种修行，而让他和他保持一种距离。
But still love that person because we are meant to love all living entities.
但是呢，依然还要爱那个人，因为我们本来就是要爱所有的众生。
It's like sometimes somebody in the family may contract a very infectious disease.
那么就比如说呢，可能有的时候我们家人呢就得了传染病。
It may be a very dear person, but for the sake of being healthy, you are going to avoid contact with that person to not get that disease.
那么虽然说呢，你和这个人有着非常的这个爱，怎么就是非常非常亲密的这种关系，但是为了要让自己保持健康，所以呢就不能够和这个得传染病的人有太亲密的接触。
So you keep a certain distance, and but you don't stop loving that person.
所以呢你要和他保持一定的距离，但是呢不要停止去爱这个人。
So people they all have a loving eternal relationship with Krishna just because of ignorance, different degrees of ignorance.They can be situated in positions sometimes even antagonists of the Lord, but it's just a disease. It's not their normal condition state. It's just a disease.
所有的人呢都和主 Krishna 之间有着永恒的关系，但是出于每个人所处在的不同的这个愚昧的这个状态，而使得有的人，由于不知道和 Krishna 这种关系，反而呢会非常的敌对于 Krishna。但是呢，这并不意味着这是他本来原本的状态，这只不过是他的一种病态的表现，是一个病。
That adversity against the Lord and against devotees, whatever they might be there, it's just because of ignorance. It's not their real consciousness. It's just because of ignorance.
那么无论他对主啊或者对奉献者啊产生的这种敌对的情绪全部都是由于他是处在无知的状态下，并不是他原本就是这样的。
But we have to protect ourselves, yes.
但是呢毫无疑问我们是需要保护自己的。
Because we protect ourselves from an infectious disease.
因为我们要保护自己不要去得这传染病。
So we have to be careful, yeah.
对呢，我们要小心。
Okay, thank you everybody for your...
Sorry, there's one more.
One more.
Hare Krishna. 阿叔，丹丹凯丽，你那个什么，就关于刚才孟丹提的那个问题，离开躯体时做的那些仪式，有人提示说他是在第二天，就是离开躯体之后做的，就是应该是在离开躯体之前做嘛，就是这个离开躯体前和后做是否有相同的益处呢？
我也刚才阿叔说，就不知道对他有多好的这个益处。那我现在我再重新问一下阿叔啊。
嗯嗯。
阿叔，for the previous question about to do all of the things for the dead body of the relatives, one of the things the devotee stressed for is that they are doing that the second day after the body left, after the soul left the body. However, the overall way of doing that is before the soul left the body, so that will make the soul benefit. But for this case, because the soul has really left the body, so will that benefit anything to the soul at all?
It benefits, particularly if it's after passing away is better than later after 7 days, because after 7 days you don't know, maybe the soul already gone.
Okay.
So then there's no much benefit or no benefit at all.
Okay. 就是刚刚这个问题里面说呢，是在躯体离开第二，就是灵魂离开躯体第二天的时候做的这件事情。阿叔说呢，这依然还是有益的。但是呢，如果是这个灵魂已经离开躯体7天了才去做这件事情的话，那就不一定有什么益处了，因为这会儿的时候这个灵魂已经彻底的走了。
But there is no certainty because sometimes the soul may still hover around that body because of much attachment to the body. So if something is done to the body like that, the soul benefits.
但是呢，我们其实也不能够有一个明确的到底多少天的这种概念，因为有的时候这个灵魂它就特别的依附于它这个躯体，所以呢，它就一直的会在这个躯体周围去晃。所以说呢。只要是为这个躯体去做了这些仪式的话呢，对这个灵魂就是有益的。
So it's always best to do these things than to not do at all.
那么所以说呢，我们总是就是如果是去做这些活动，就是从事这些活动，总比不做要强。
Because there is always good chances that the soul is still around and feels touched by that.
那么因为呢，就是总是会有这种可能性，就是这个灵魂它依然还是在这个躯体的周围，所以说呢，它可能会被这样的这种活动所触碰。
Because we are not doing things for the body that is dead, we are doing things for the soul.
因为所有的这些活动其实都不是为这具死亡的躯体而做的，这么做的原因呢，完全是为了这个灵魂而做的。
So this was the last question?
No, actually, Sati has one more. 请问阿叔、
okay.
我们处在哪个传系中，是前世的积累已经确定好的，还是这一世有选择的机会？可能是在不同的生世处在不同的传系中吗？阿叔，which sampadaya we are in, is this from the previous pious activities, what we have collected to decide it, what we are for this life, or what? So is that possible for us to be in a different sampadaya from the different lives?
Well, in most cases, yes, it could be that we already, some of us could be already being in touch with some sampradaya or even in this sampradaya in a previous life. It could be.
但是就是我们有可能，就是说我们可能在之前的这个生世里面已经接触了这个sampradaya了，这是有可能的。
Or another sampradaya.Connected with sampradaya or another sampradaya.
那我们也或者说是跟其他的sampradaya有一些联系。
Or we have never contacted with any sampradaya.
或者说呢，我们从来就没有接触过任何的sampradaya。
And this is the general case.
那么这个其实是大部分的情况都是这样的。
And somehow other, by good fortune, by causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his followers,We came in contact with this sampradaya. Causeless.
但是呢，就是由于我们的好运，然后呢，出于释迦帕帕以及他的追随者的这个无缘的仁慈，使得我们接触到了这个三宝大雅。
This is the most, is the general scenario.
那所以这是一个大部分的情况。
No background.
我们没有什么背景。
It's just causeless mercy.
所以这只是出于无缘的仁慈。
This is the majority of us.
那所以大部分的人都是这样的一种状况。
But for instance, in India, there are some devotees who joined because they already practiced in previous life, either in this sampradaya or in other sampradaya. And then when they got the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, they became immediately attracted and they become very serious in their practice. That's their cases.
But 在印度呢有这样的一种情况，就是很多人呢他们就是在之前在前一世的时候已经接触了我们的这个使徒传系或者是其他的这种使徒传系，所以说在这一生当他们遇到了释迦帕帕的时候呢，立刻就变得非常的认真，然后开始仔细的休息起来。
Okay, thank you very much for your question.
非常非常感谢大家的问题。
Thank you everybody for listening.
非常感谢大家的聆听。
A special thank you to Sati and Danakeli Mataji for allowing us to be together for this period of time.
那么特别的感谢 Sati Maharaj 还有 Dana Kiri Maharaj 能够让我们能够在这个时间呢聚集在一起。
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hari 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 Bo.
Ashku ki jai. 外观大知音，服务员也聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者，我们今天的早课呢就到此结束了。非常非常感谢 Krishna Baladev Babu， 我们亲爱的阿叔为我们的精彩讲述和对所有问题耐心的解答。非常非常谢谢 Sati Maharaj 为我们安排的这么美妙的平台，也非常感恩所有的奉献者的聆听。祝大家在 Krishna 知觉之中度过一个美妙的大年猪年的初六。 Hare Krishna。